Welcome back to the Gospel Fantasy Football Show. I am your host, Zay, the fantasy football fiend himself, and I have my guys, Young Vanda, the fantasy Nostradamus. How that the people?
Hey, what's going on out there?
And the rookie aficionado, bro, Joe. How that the people?
What's going on, y'all?
Yo, so we have an action-packed show for you today. The draft is right around the corner. We're going to get into running backs and tight ends in just a moment. But remember, you can check us out on YouTube at The Gospel STP. Again, that's The Gospel STP. And if you have not yet joined the Facebook group, go ahead and do that as well. That's The Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. With that being said, let's hop right into it, fellas. We'll start out with the running backs. This is in no particular order, although it kind of is. You can let us know how you feel about these individuals. And for me, I got a feeling that I am leaning towards rather having maybe two or three of these guys versus just having the one name or the one guy, big guy out there, if it's possible to go about doing. But first couple of names up, Ashton Jeanty and Trevion Henderson. Let's start there. Ashton Jeanty, also, you guys know, obviously, Boise State RB. This guy had 2,600 rushing yards in 2024, ranked second highest in NCAA history behind Barry Sanders for the most in a single season. But there are some warts, if you will, or at least some reticence that's been voiced by some as to whether or not you're actually getting what you saw in college in the NFL. How do you guys feel about this, bro? Joe, start us out. Is he going to be that guy, or should you just get a couple of these guys? And we'll talk about the other guys in just a moment.
Fender kind of talked me into going the other way about him. I'm not going to hold you. It's like a mirage. Like, I looked at him a few times, like, he could be, but then when I got that in my ear, I'm saying he's good, but I don't think he's to where, as far as relative to fantasy, I don't have the expectation he needs too many things for me to feel as confident. I'm going to need the O-line. I'm going to need the quarterback. I think he reminds me of Jay Ajayi. And that's not a bad thing, because Joe Jackson got busy before he wasn't no longer in the NFL. He's a good player. I think he has great attributes, but I'm hesitant. I'm not gonna lie. I think he's a little bit too. I would be more comfortable with knowing a list of things first. He's a good player, yeah, but I'm not gonna invest too much into him, especially in redraft. But in dynasty, I think, like you said, I think this is the year you kind of get two or three flyers on guys, and you let it rock. Honestly. To go to the other one, Henderson. I like Henderson. I like his running mate a ton more. But Henderson is pretty good. I got to watch him actually earlier today. And I think with these running backs, like after Jeanty, it's just like there's too many variables to know how much I like them. But I do understand if he's in the conversation to be in the second running back, for sure.
Vander, what do you feel like Jeanty's floor and ceiling may look like, or who would be the comp that you would give for him?
It's so funny, and I had a comparison in my mind, but I didn't want to say it because I didn't want nobody to look at me crazy. But when I see him run, it reminds me of Emmitt Smith. He had an Emmitt Smith kind of way he moved with the ball, but he's a lot bigger than Emmitt. Like he's a big boy, but I was more on the Ray Rice side, so I'm going to temper that and come down to like more like a Ray Rice. Which Ray Rice, all pro, you know, capabilities, but not too crazy. And I think that's kind of where Jeanty lies at. He could very well probably be a top 10 back, maybe closer to 10. You know what I mean? So, again, like Joe said, it's all about the landing spot and then the situation that he's in. I think it's whether he's going to be successful or not. And I think him being in the Heisman race, and, you know, due to him chasing that record, he has been kind of over gassed a little bit. He's not Saquon. He's not Todd Gurley. He's not AP. I mean, some of the no-brainer running backs we've seen come through, and you already knew this dude here is a damn. I don't quite get that feeling from him. but I do think he can be pretty good. Henderson, man, I'm kind of thinking Joe Boy, man, from Gibbs, man. He looking like Jameer a little bit to me, man.
I thought Alvin Kamara.
But guess what? It's the same thing. People were saying Gibbs was Kamara.
Yeah.
So they cousins. You know what I mean? It's like, y'all might not be brothers, but y'all look alike.
Right.
You know what I mean? They mama was right. You know what I'm saying? So I think Gibbs and Trevion Henderson parents are siblings. And that's just what you're going to get. We've seen how good Gibbs could be with a full workload. Now, I'm not sure if Trevion would receive that, but I think people seeing the success, the things that he did in the bowl game,
mm-hmm.
people was like, okay, this kid, he can be a three down back. But just having to share the load with Judkins in Ohio, but I like him a lot.
Now, you also have Omarion Hampton, who is out of North Carolina. This is another guy who has power, quickness. He's able to elude tacklers. And he's one of those guys that I'm assuming it's based on the school that he went to that maybe he isn't quite getting the name value that he could. But how are we feeling about Omarion Hampton? Is he a guy that you kind of see in the same light as Henderson or Genty, as far as if you can't get one, go for the other, and you have just about as good of a chance as having a star as the other, or is he not quite in that same realm as far as you guys think?
I mean, I think so, man. This dude really don't have no glaring weaknesses, to be honest with you. I mean, he's a little below average in the passing game, but as far as just skill and ability, I really think, though Genty would definitely go one before him, I think Hampton probably going to have the better fantasy season and football season, because I think he's going to have a better landing spot, if that makes sense.
Okay.
You know, for me, I think maybe the Broncos is a team that come to mind. And if he get in a system like that, then I think it's over, you know, from that point. This kid should
it be- wouldn't scare you if it was that sort of a committee, that many guys in the room, in the running back room?
No, because Peyton will give somebody the opportunity to separate, to be this past season. Everybody got an opportunity, but nobody, Javonte didn't do it. McLaurin really didn't do it. Like, Stemme, he was kind of banged up early on, but he didn't. He would give you opportunity to separate from the pack. And this guy can, you know, I think day one he come in, he's probably the most talented back in the room. So with that being said, I think he could be well. As far as my comp, I'm thinking more poor man, I ain't going to say poor man because that's kind of like an insult, right? I'm going to say Charbonnet. Okay. I'm Charbonnet to Rashard Penny-ish. He kind of in that range. But on the higher end, Breece Hall. So okay. He's somewhere between Breece Hall to Charbonnet, if you kind of want to get a comparison. So his floor, that's the kind of the range I have him in as far as what he can be.
What you got on Hampton, Joe?
I like him too. I actually like the cops too that Vander gave. Honestly, he just I think he's one of the most well rounded players out of this group that we're going to talk about. I like it, like you said, we just see him do a little bit of everything. He doesn't like pop as far as like his, you know, like he don't like breakaway speed, but he does everything, you know, well, to where I think honestly he does have an opportunity to be at least a two down contributor early on. But I love the Charbonnet comp he did. I see so much similarity in the game for sure. So I think, honestly, I think he's likely to be like a, you know, a third round pick for sure. At early, because, you know, they value running back different. I would want to give him a second round opinion, but if he went in the third, you know, he fell to the third, I wouldn't be surprised. But he's going to give you an early day two pick.
Now,
In the real draft, yeah, I would think so. I think honestly, in Dynasty, depending on where he got up, he's not so much a location dependent. I just don't want to see a bell cow in front of him. Put it like that. I don't want to.
I'm like I said, I got the Broncos maybe taking a kicking on him. Don't be surprised if he go in the first round. I know running backs we don't tend to see go in the first round anymore, as you know, the league changed a lot. But as far as just need, I think the Broncos is a team to watch because they got pretty much a lot of stuff they already need.
That's right.
And a running back is a glaring hole for that team. So
look at the Browns too early on.
Absolutely. So definitely, I'm thinking between the first two rounds, actually.
My guy, I can't call him a sleeper, but I think he has the opportunity to be as good as any of the names that we've called in. And I don't really believe for him, it depends on landing spot. And that's Quinshon Judkins. Yeah, the buddy, like his combine stats are off the charts, 11 foot broad jump. His 10 yard split was 1.51. Third best vertical jump in the combine amongst his running back brethren. He doesn't have elite speed, but that's okay because he doesn't need to speed away from you. He can run through you, around you, whatever he needs to do to. Now, this would be the guy that I wouldn't call a poor man's, but my comp for him is Josh Jacobs. Like, Josh Jacobs doesn't have elite speed, but he got enough speed to get away from the guy that's chasing him. If he's in the situation where it's just a one-on-one rundown from a safety, whatever the case may be. But Judkins, I believe he's probably going to go in the third round, and he's going to be as valuable to a team as any of these other guys that we've named above him. As far as fantasy is concerned, I believe that he can be one of the best values at running back as far as the fantasy draft is concerned, because you could probably get him tail end of the first round, first part of the second round, somewhere in that vein, versus having to have one of those first probably three picks if you want a Genty, or somewhere in the first half of the draft if you want Hampton. And depending on who's in your league, there are Ohio State fans everywhere. So Henderson may go a little bit higher than what you thought he would. But Judkins is one of those guys that you can get as a value at the back end of the first. And your worst case scenario is him not being a bust. I am just about willing to guarantee that he won't be a bust. Maybe he doesn't hit the ceiling that he can hit, but his skill set says that it's going to be very difficult for him to fail in the NFL, which we've seen a lot of running backs that have been world beaters in college not necessarily translate to the NFL. His skill set, his size being 6 foot, 221 pounds, all that good stuff. Yeah, this is the guy. This guy and one of the other guys that we're going to talk about, it doesn't matter which one, but him and one of the others is what I'm going after in drafts. Joe, agree, disagree, too high, too low, where we at?
No, I think y'all think he's too slow, literally. He's way faster than what y'all think he is. Let's put it, like, well, obviously, like, I've been fascinated by him. You look at his feet, right? Like, it's more like yeah. All the highlights I've seen, this man in the open field, he's gone. Like, when I saw him take it off for 85 yards, I mean, he done toted the rock three other times. He's like, let me take off the gas right here. This guy's got
acceleration.
Bro.
He doesn't have the top end speed, but he can get past you with his acceleration.
That boy. So I was looking at the one thing that's kind of stood out to me. I look at like the 10 yard split a lot because I like, to your point, I need to know how quick you're going to get to full speed, right? So he ran what, a 10 yard split of what, 1.51? Devon Achane was 1.48. So that's Devon Achane, 1.48. Bijan Robinson was one, same as him, 1.51. And then on top of that caveat, Jahmyr Gibbs, 1.52. This dude getting to where he got to go, and he getting there quick. And don't let it be daylight. Like, I love Quinshon Johnson. I think, honestly, like, if you take his height, like, his weight, for example, that 220, you take it down to, like, a Jahmyr Gibbs 199, he would run a 4.3 easy. He's a bigger guy. Like, he's a, like, I'm going to reach on him. I'm promising you that now. This is one of the people I feel like in dynasty relativity, like you said, he's almost team-proof to, like you said, Zay, where you're not worried about where he's going. Nope. It's just a matter of time for him to give whatever contributions he's going to make to a team. And I'd rather be bullish on what contributions he makes than, like you said, because some people might get the Marion Hampton, who are likely going to go first round in dynasty. You're going to get some of the Gentry that's going to go first. you're looking at somebody who's on the back end of a draft between like 7 and 10, there's, you know, you could easily throw that dart in there, and then it's not much risk compared to the wide receivers and other positions that's going to be a need on the back end of the first round. So I like what you just said for sure.
Vander, you thinking the same thing? Or is my fandom getting in the way of my common sense? Because this is one of my Ohio State guys, so I will put that out there. So I got to see him every week. I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent, but I never saw any holes in his game, if you will.
The only one of the holes I will say is maybe the passing game. I think he probably going to be an early down back. I want to see some more pass pro from him. See if he could protect, because that's going to keep him on the field. That's the main thing. If you can't pass pro third down, we got to get you out of here. I think he can be more in the David Montgomery as far as not comp, but more as a early down and then, you know, the thunder lightning type deal, right? I think he's going to be in a situation where he is a complement to another running back. But my comp for him would be somebody like, I like Trey Benson. And maybe even like a guy that we didn't see, Darius Geis, if everybody can remember him, you know.
Okay.
I like him, but, you know, he had some little trouble that got him, kept him away. But that's kind of my comp for Judkins. But he is a lot faster than most people think. I mean, big boy, not afraid to get dirty. But you didn't really see him do passing work. And sometimes it's not that you can't do it. You're just not asked to do it. For you on a team with Henderson, you're not asked to do it, right?
That's why I comped him to Josh Jacobs, because same sort of situation.
Like Brian Robinson Jr.
He wasn't asked to.
Like Brian Robinson Jr. People thought he couldn't catch, right?
Yeah.
Because he was on the team with Gibbs, so at Bama. So.
It just wasn't his job in Ohio State's offense, because Henderson is better at catching out of the backfield.
Right.
But it's not that he can't do it. He just wasn't asked to do it. That wasn't his part of the job, because they – definitively split that so that way they can both get on the field. So,
so that's going to be
Henderson wasn't there, he would have been a three down back in Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
So, next up, Iowa running back Caleb Johnson and Arizona State running back Cam Scatabo. Now, for me, Scatabo is the guy that I would say out of the running backs intrigues me the most, because it's just, he's not number one at anything. He doesn't do anything poorly per se. He could be a world beater. He could be one of the first running backs that we're speaking of to bust. But I don't think you're going to have to draft him early enough that it'll matter. And I really feel like he's going to be, dependent upon landing spot, but he's a Swiss Army knife kind of guy. Like, whatever team picks him, they aren't going to pick him just to do one thing. He's going to be a guy that can get in there and do a little bit of everything. That's kind of what he did in college as well. You may see some more creative offenses be a little bit more interested in him. He's a guy that showed they'd be. Remember, for a part of the season, he was his team's quarterback. So, like, you know, those offenses that like to get a little cute, you know, We've seen some passes out of the backfield and things of that nature. He's a guy that can do a little bit of all of that. But Caleb Johnson, I kind of feel like if I'm going to use one of Vander's phrases, he's like one of the Rodney Dangerfields of this year's draft class, because he don't get no respect. But if you recall, Iowa is really good at putting out two things consistently: running backs and tight ends.
And linebackers, too.
Well, I'm just talking about fantasy purposes.
Yeah. Definitely tight ends, for sure.
But I feel like people are, I mean, this guy had over 1,500 yards, 21 touchdowns. Like, that's not nothing. Like, but no one's really bringing up his name when we're talking about running backs, and he's one of those guys that I feel you're going to be able to probably get to mid to late second round. And if you were in need of a running back and didn't have a first round pick, you won't be mad at your selection at all. He's a big back. He's able to fall forward, if that makes sense. So you don't really have to worry about a lot of negative plays. And when he lowers his shoulders, he's looking to deliver the contact. He's not one to shy away from it. He's a bulldozer. He's that dude. You know, he's definitely going to be on the goal line for whatever team to draft. And he is probably more likely to be in a committee type of a situation. But with where you can draft him and the fact that he's probably going to be used on the goal line, he's another guy that, depending on where I'm drafting and how many picks I have, I'd love to have him in my platoon and kind of see how things work out with him. Am I overhyping him a little bit, or is he kind of underrated? Why don't you start us off, Andrew?
Nah, Caleb was actually one of my favorite running backs in college football. When I was betting, he'd be the guy I'm always putting down for at least 100 yards rushing and a touchdown. Like, he's just one of those guys for me. The only thing about him is pass protection. Not good.
That's why I said he's most likely to be in a committee. He's going to be the so first. I think maybe
a team like the Bears, where they already have a again, kind of in a David Montgomery situation for him. So he'd be another guy that also be in that kind of situation. It all depends on landing spot, whether how successful he's going to be in fantasy, and that's for a lot of these guys. And once the draft is, we'll come back, revisit this, and let you know the guys that's really going to be doing some damage. But for him, great runner. Speed is good. Footwork is good. Again, only weakness is the possibly receiving-wise and pass protection-wise. And when it comes to fantasy, we know that could be a thing. But short yardage and early down work, no issues at all.
Now, on the other end of that, Scalabo, he's the first running back since Christian McCaffrey to have 1,500 rushing yards and 500 receiving yards. So, like I said, he's the Swiss Army knife. He does a little bit of it all.
Scannable. So
how are you feeling about him?
Number one, the level of competition, for one. That's a thing. He's probably I think he's the oldest running back in this thing. He's going to be about 24 years old by the time the season starts. That's kind of old considering it's your rookie year. And Scannable, again, another guy, he got to land in a situation where somebody can use him for his gifts. So he can very well be. What's my boy name? Peyton Hillis?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He could be that, or he could be.
For those of you that forget Peyton Hillis, talk about a blast from the past. Cleveland and Tampa, was it?
What team did he play? Played at Tampa before as well, but Cleveland was where he really.
Okay. Yeah.
He could be Peyton Hillis, or he could be the kid we seen that went to the Chiefs last year, right? UCLA.
Yeah. I know.
So,
yeah.
Let's see. You know what I'm saying? Again, he got to get to a spot where he's used for his gifts, but he's a tough kid.
But he's a third round pick, would you say, or back in second as far as fantasy draft?
He's going to be in Dynasty League for sure. He's going to be a mid to back in second.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so anywhere from 2.7 to 2.12-ish, you probably see his name called 2.7, 2.6 in that area back to the – and that's going to depend on the need of the teams who are picking at the time. If they need a running back help, his name would be one that's kind of lighting up at the top, so they're probably picking right there. So mid to back in second.
How you feeling about these two guys, Joe?
I'm kind of keeping my list like kind of short running back. You know how it is with Dynasty. We probably get some of these for free. And I think Scatabo is friends, like you said, like how you said, like 2.7, 2.12. If somebody told me he didn't get drafted at all, I wouldn't be surprised. But you know how this works. Only because we got to look at it like this. So wide receiver position probably is likely going to be one of the caveats of the second round. You also got to look at the possibility, too. That's where you might take, you know, the Tyler Shoals and whomever else might be a quarterback. This is going to kind of push, you know, a position, you know, that's finite like that, a running back kind of to the back. Because we already know the beginning of the first, second to the end of the second, everybody get running back. It's Oprah time for running back season towards the back end of the first round. But they're great. Both of them are great talents. I like the Iowa running back. y'all point, like this kid, he reminds like Braylon. I'm like, I think he could be perfect in like a Braylon Allen situation, to like how he is to Breece Hall, where a contributor, somebody who got 8 to 10 carries, who got a few. He even pulled some touchdowns away from Breece Hall last year. I see him having that type of contribution at the next level. It's somebody that you want to have because he's going to be, and we all hope that he can be a reliable handcuff to where he can be productive and give us some return in the, his first season. So I definitely like the Iowa running back.
And what do you feel the comp and the ceiling and floor may look like for Scatterball? And are you willing to go his direction if you miss out on one of the aforementioned running backs?
I think he's going to make a team because he's going to make a team one which way, either running back, special team, because just the grit of the player. Like this dude, I remember, I think he had like 196 total yards, some crazy touchdown stat line. I watched that game and dude didn't have, he was in the game all game. He didn't come out for not one play. And I think that's going to serve a team pretty well. Like I like the, like you said, like I like the comps again. Like you guys are always spot on with that. And I'll throw in like a Kyle Juszczyk. Like, you know, like he's somebody who's going to be he can be a halfback to where he can be the fullback. He can be the tight. I think you can just use him so much because he seems like this with Army Knife. I wouldn't be surprised if he played a little bit of everything in the backfield, but he's going to make a team off a special team by itself. And that's what gives the added value. We already know, even if in real life he goes later on in the draft, he has so much value because he's going to make a team off of work ethic alone.
Yeah, I think he's just, like Joe said, I think he's just a football player.
Yeah, you know, yeah. You know who he reminds me of, actually, now that I'm thinking about it?
Who that?
He's a Kyle Juszczyk on steroids. He's a Juszczyk, but Juszczyk don't, he can catch, but he don't really catch. But he's a fullback that can fill in for a halfback that can catch the ball out of the back.
He Kyle Juszczyk and Taysom Hill had a baby.
Hey, so right, he, kept. I wouldn't mind.
He might be doing some Wildcat.
He's definitely going to do Wildcat because he played quarterback too. Oh. But I wouldn't mind, based on what you just said,
mm-hmm.
I and this was a name that was in my head, but I didn't put it together the way you just did. But a team that wants to do something in the Taysom Hill vein, you know, maybe an offensive mind, like your boy out in Denver.
Yeah.
Maybe instead of taking a running back early, he takes Scatterball mid-range, and he could be the tight end, the running back, the quarterback, like whatever you need for him to be on that particular play.
Yeah.
And not only that, he will essentially be Peyton's Taysom Hill long term. I mean, because yeah, that is the perfect comp. And as you stated earlier, the Broncos do kind of need a little bit of help in the running back room. What if you helped out a couple of different rooms with one guy and yeah, you didn't have to give up an early round pick to do it? That's the type, like for that team, he would actually give you the most value. And yeah, he would fit the bill for. They don't have a tight end that I'm impressed with as of right now.
Yes, they do.
Because Evan Ingram, I get it, but Evan Ingram is often hurt. So you a fill in there, if and when he gets hurt or nicked up, you got a fill in. Nobody, to your point, stood out at running back. You got a fill in there. And then when you want to do just something different, you can line him up at tight end, running back, whatever, and he can throw the ball. He would be Peyton's dream. Like, he is the new age Taysom Hill, to your point. So, yeah, I like that. That's a great comp. But I don't know if I would use a second-round pick on Taysom Hill. Becomes the in fantasy. I'm talking about fantasy second-round pick, not NFL second-round pick. Because well, I don't know if he's going to go high in NFL.
I tell you what, only one way. If he's he has a roster designation, running back / tight end. Mm. Then at that point, he becomes a real joker, right?
Yeah.
So that's something to watch. If he can get one of those designations, because you remember back in the day, remember when Tebow had the quarterback / tight end?
Yeah, tight end QB. Yeah.
I think I won a league off that. You know what I'm saying? I did.
You did. I remember
Tebow at tight end.
If I recall correctly, that was the first year that I played in the standard league that we've been in for over a decade now.
Yeah, yeah.
And you did win the first year I was in that league.
That was killer.
You won with Tebow that year, and the next year I won with OBJ.
Yeah,
that's the way that went down.
That was killer. When you had a quarterback playing tight end, he was running. I was getting 20-something points at the tight end position easily. So again, if you have a roster designation, he can be a lot more valuable. But again, like I said, landing spot is always the key.
And of course, we're going to walk you guys through it after the draft. We're going to let you know, so let me give you a little bit of inside information right quick. All right. And this is going to break down something for Vander and for Joe as well as to why I do one of the things that I do. There's a reason why in the dynasty leagues that we have, we'll be drafting on Sunday. Because I know y'all. And y'all not going to let all the hats out of the bag before we draft. So for the sake of the people, I want our dynasty draft to be done before we talk to them on that Tuesday. So y'all can really tell them how y'all feel. So they can excel in day draft. Especially Joe. I know how you get down. It's something that you done left out already. I can feel it in my bones. I know it is.
It's funny. This was a few days ago. Like, for listeners and stuff. Like, he actually called me. And it's like, my girl in the background. Like, yo, you just going to be talking to him. Like, yo, it's the off season. That's what we talk. We can chat it up a little bit. Come August, man. We know that type of time. So like you said, I think, like, and to your point, like, being able to talk to you, Vander, stuff like that, this is the time for, like, you know, especially everybody, that these shows and stuff like this is pivotal, because we got to follow them all the way to September. And information change, it's almost, you know, ups and downs. We're going to get good news, bad news. This guy stood up. This guy don't stand out. And honestly, we need to have communications. We need to have a gospel like this to kind of speak on things now, to kind of put the olive branch, so to speak, to follow us to September or August for draft day. So I like having these comments. But you, like you said, we got to leave some of it out, right? You know?
At heart, we're fantasy players first. So, I mean, if you're a fantasy player at heart, you got to understand it. I mean,
I don't really hide information, though, man, honestly.
You don't hide it. But you wait until after the draft to show as much enthusiasm with certain. And what I mean by, for instance, who was.
I even tell people who I'm drafting.
It was a guy last year that you got as a free agent, if I'm not mistaken. And I can't remember who it was, but you were basically like, I wasn't going to say his name because I wanted to get him for free. And I knew if I said it, one of y'all was going to get him in the third round instead of letting me get him. And I don't remember who he was, to be honest with you. But I remember having that conversation. But at any rate, we're going to make sure you guys get all of the information necessary to get all of the could-be, would-be studs that you can get with next to nothing as far as draft or undrafted free agent. And you may just want to have them on your taxi squad at the end of your bench. And then you see how things kind of flesh out. There's been several running backs that wasn't drafted at all, that we were able to tell you a few months in, hey, get this guy because he's outshining the guys that were drafted before. So just keep that in mind. With that being said, Joe, a few other guys that I want to throw out there. Running backs 7, 8, and 9. Tennessee, Dylan Sampson. Kansas, Devin Neal. And Kansas State, DJ Gibbons. I'll go ahead and also throw Trevor Etienne from Georgia, just because I know you're a Georgia boy and you probably watched him as much as I've watched Henderson and Judkins. Anything here? Are these just guys that are going to be fillers if you didn't get the other guys and you're really truly wishing and hoping on a dream? Or is there anything that's kind of unbeknownst to the novice here?
I'm not going to lie. That Samson kid, like, take the same energy I had about Henderson and just drag it over here to Samson. That boy is insane. Like, he's fast. He run through you. He run around you. Like, that dude, he reminds me of CJ Spiller a lot. But it's obviously CJ is obviously shorter. This guy, what, 600, 602, 1010? But I got, yo, he
500, 200 pounds.
That dude, yo, he, I love his game, bro. I was watching his game earlier. Take like that.
And to your point, he led the SEC with an average of 114 yards per game. And again, this isn't a guy that we're talking about competition. He led the SEC. So that's running back central. So this is another guy that you may get on the cheaper end of the scale.
And that's what I like about him, because like it's like, you know, a lot of people are gonna go towards the Travion and these other players early. But if you feel this way about him, about Travion, for example, you can kind of, like you said, play to how dynasty is gonna play out. You know, you can have a strategy to where if he's so confident, especially in his destination, he's gonna have to back, almost like Tajay Spears, for example, where they had Pollard, but then they also needed a different, you know, complement to Pollard. I think same thing can happen to Samson easily. And he's going to bring you a spark to that offense being the second guy. So I think he's somebody who's going to be a really worthwhile handcuff. And I don't have to worry too long about him doing well, because we're going to hear a lot about him in August during preseason for sure, where they're going to give him, whoever team he goes to, abundant amount of carries, because he's going to explode. I like his skill set a lot. I like Neil and stuff like that, but it goes back to how we talking about Caleb from Iowa. I think you fall into that same conversation with him, but I kind of like Caleb a lot more. Yeah, I heard good things about him, but I'm not as too familiar with his game. But, you know, that's the other side of the process. Even though we don't talk about everybody, at some point or another, they're going to come back up in relevancy during the later parts of the evaluation.
And a lot of these guys are going to be guys that show out in rookie camps and things of that nature early on. And you can get them without having to pay the premium. And if they work out, awesome. If not, no worry. I mean, like some of these guys, you may be able to trade for after the draft for like a 2028 pick. like just a hope and a dream, you know. But yeah, for sure. Vander, any of these guys on your radar, or are we into the weeds now?
Kind of the weeds in a way. I think, I mean, I love these guys in college. Samson, again, I was betting over 100 yards rushing and a touchdown every week, because it was like guaranteed for him. Maybe two touchdowns, honestly. He's like guaranteed. But he doesn't – there's not – one thing about him, and even with Neil, the yards of the contact is not that great. They can easily get taken down on initial contact. If you hit them across behind the line, they're going down. It's not really like a guy like Samson. If you hit him high – now, if you hit him high, you're not going to tackle him. But if you hit him low, legs, feet, he going down. He's just one of those guys. And same as Neil, I think they can really easily be tackled by one guy. And that's kind of like a red flag for me on this next level. I think these guys would be just handcuffs. You're kind of in the handcuff range right now, right? Maybe if a
Are
guy.
Are there any other honorable mentions that we haven't talked about yet on your list?
Honorable mention on my list, I would say, yeah, R.J. Harvey. Okay. I think that's a
yeah, Harvey, your boy from UCF.
Yeah, that he tough. He a tough runner. He's somebody you might want to just like keep your eyes on him. You know what I'm saying?
Did you know he averaged 13 yards per catch?
Mm-hmm.
That's killer.
It's plenty of wide receivers that don't do that.
Yeah. Hey, he will be my guy that I would say, even though he may be on some people's list ranked lower than some of the guys we talked about just now, I think he's somebody you might want to pay attention to. Again, now he's also a guy that's kind of older in age. He'd be 24 and a half years old by the time this season start. But I'm gonna put him in a comp of like a Chase Brown, honestly.
He's a little bit on the shorter side, 5'8". 205 pounds, so he's not small. You know who I would give him a comp to? And I don't want to disrespect him by saying a poor man's, but just kind of feel where I'm coming from. Muscle Hamster. Doug Martin. He kind of reminds me a little bit of the Doug Martin situation, where he's really able to catch the ball. He's really able to be, whether he's a short yardage guy or he scampers for 7 yards real quick and then get tackled, but them little legs that never stop moving quickly, and like it's hard to fit. It's like you get to the end of the game, and it's like, when did he get 80 yards? Like, when did that happen? And that, in combination with his ability to catch, I think he's going to be a quintessential piece of somebody's committee. I don't think you draft him in real world NFL to be the guy, but wherever he goes, look at the whether they have another guy that can kind of, it would be kind of like a Bucky Irvin.
That's why I say, you hear my comp.
Say again?
You didn't hear my comp.
I did.
Chase Brown. Because.
Does he have that high-end speed, though?
I mean.
RJ, yeah. RJ.
You just said the man averaged 13 yards a catch.
No, I mean, that's per catch. That's not saying he's fast.
Yeah, but well,
if you compare him to Chase Brown, Chase Brown is a speedster. That's why I'm asking that.
Well, what I'm saying is he has the receiving ability. He's better in short yardage than you think. Due to his size, you wouldn't think it, but he's better.
Actually, no, because he did have a 4.4. So he's not slow.
Again, you just said you wasn't drafting him thinking, but Chase Brown, nobody was drafting him thinking.
I see. Then
look what he turned into by season's end. He's like, oh, he was a fantasy darling at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with the way Burrow was looking for him on the checkdowns. Like, so maybe a poor man.
If you see him in the committee with one of those dudes that get often hurt, like Zach Moss and Chase Brown. Matter of fact, we talked about that all the time on the show in the offseason last year. Zach Moss is eventually going to get hurt. Chase Brown is eventually going to be the guy. And you'd be good to have him for free versus having to trade for him. So, yeah,
sure.
Spot on with that. Yeah, I like that. Are there any other running backs that we want to talk about before we move on over to tight end?
I was going to add on to RJ.
Good. Okay.
I love RJ. Honestly, like you said, to all y'all reasons, I'm glad y'all both can say it. So I know that both of y'all are on the same page. I would take him early second based on team alone. Like, what's a wide receiver that you love? Like a sex, like we could get so many of them, but they're the second running back, but yet they steadily catch him 5 passes. It might be on your team, actually, the Patriots, Jose, that we can kind of look at somebody like that saying, oh, that wasn't that, isn't the guy who's going to probably get 4 or 5 catches, probably set 5 to 8 touches a game.
Talk about that's gonna be like a white situation?
Like a white, hey, that's white. White is a good way of thinking about it, but to Vander's point as well, too, he's so much like Chase Brown. I had him as Trevor Etienne from Jacksonville. Because you can split, he can line him out. You can motion him out wide. You can just bring, you know, you can just play around on the field. Like I said, whoever's going to get him, like, so exactly what they said, you're going to use him as a weapon. You're going to use him in complement of what somebody else can't do. And I love that Vander mentioned him as well too. I'm glad, like I said, I'm glad to know what both of y'all think. So come draft day. I would say Taj Brooks is somebody I liked a lot. Didn't have quite the same season this year at Texas Tech from last year, but this guy is a really darn good running back. He's only like that. We go into the shorties right now because he's 5'9", 214, but he can get it done in a multitude of different ways. We talking about betting on.
I think you probably better get him for free.
Yep, and that's the good part about it. Better get him for free. Because in real life, where he might go 5th or 6th round, but it's to everybody's detriment to kind of look that far into the draft anyway. Looking at how successful those running backs have been, so again, he's gonna be another one of those guys who are preseason. We're gonna look at him to get 4.5, 5 yards a carry. He's gonna probably make the team as a third running back. So like you said, a taxi squad player or something like that. But he does have a lot of good upside. I love Taj Brooks. He's a good player. And I guess Devon Edwards from Michigan didn't have the same season as 2 seasons ago. This year wasn't so well. But their Michigan program was what it was without Harbaugh, I guess you could say, Maybe that's what went with him. But he definitely was a loss, lost a lot of stock and a lot of tread this year. Maybe it was a sign he should have came out last year. It would have been a different conversation because his skill set. Another fast player, 5'11", 205. So now we're back in the Travion Henderson. And then the other young man we talked about that was at that size too. Just another fast player, electric player. But I think Devon Edwards is in that room that we kind of speaking about might be the third or fourth guy that's attacked before I play. And absolutely free in Dynasty. But it was a good player. Again, that program went to crap at Michigan. So a lot of people might not, they might just see Loveland and that's it. And you might be able to get him because nobody remember what he did a few years ago. But he's a really good running back, a quality running back that's going to be free in Dynasty.
Real quick, I would say, again, these are more taxi guys and you know, guys that's probably, you know, there's some good guys. Like, I thought Ollie Gordon was going to be something one day in college, but who knows if it's going to translate.
The Oklahoma State guy.
ETN, no. These guys, you're going to be able to, if you want them on your team, you don't have to draft them. They're going to be available. The guy Yams, the kid Yams. But the one kid I'm kind of like, the kid, I don't know if it's Tootin or Tutton from VTech. Is it Tootin?
Oh, Tutton. Okay. What is it? Bashal?
Yeah. Tutton?
You're 5'9", 206.
I'm curious about him to see where he land at, and because his speed can't be denied. He ran a 4.32. So I don't know.
Worst case scenario, that maybe he gets in there and some end arounds and some definitely for special teams, you know, worst case. But he's going to find a spot on somebody's team. You don't run a 4.32 and not get drafted by somebody.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see where he land at. Maybe he'd be this year. Maybe he'd be Kenyon Mitchell, right? Maybe he'll be that. Who knows? But let's see. I mean, in the right system, maybe a Shanahan one cut. We didn't see a lot of guys in one cut zone. Like Garendo came out of nowhere. That was basically speed that got him drafted. So I don't know. Let's just see what he learned.
Look, Joe, I would love to see him in Seattle in that Clint Kubiak system. Just saying.
So we'll come on through.
You have two running backs in front of them that often get hurt. That's all I'm saying.
Before we move on, my advice I'm gonna give you and a tidbit you guys need to use is we talk about different guys and all that, but and I talked about this with Zay on two shows ago. Watch who the Bears draft, the Browns draft, the Washington Commanders draft. The 49ers draft and, like you say, Seattle draft. Sometimes it's really about the name. It's about what team pick who.
Yep.
Because these are teams that really, when they pick a running back, it's for a reason. It's not for a reason. Commanders already came out and said they want to get a different style of running back that they're accustomed to. That's something to watch. The Browns, we already know their running back situation. You want to pay attention to who they draft. Again, the zone running scheme, like the Shanahan, the Kubiak kind of system. Always pay. I don't care if they drive a guy from Benedict. You might want to keep an eye on him because he's somebody. So just pay attention sometimes to the certain teams that pick the running back position more over the name per se.
And throw Pittsburgh in it too.
And Pittsburgh, yeah, that's one of the teams.
That's another, yeah. Because you know that they're looking for a New York one Jalen Warren.
New York Giants as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Dallas Cowboys. Now,
I will say Tracy, he's definitely going to be in the mix, but I can see them going committee and wanting to use two guys for sure.
Yeah.
And I can see them possibly cutting Singletary before season starts, depending on who they draft. So tight ends. With tight ends, we'll just kind of make it a bit of a free-for-all because as far as fantasy tight ends are concerned, there aren't many that stand out in year one. Tight ends are really those guys that you're going to kind of have to trade for after they've had a quote-unquote disappointing first year, or you kind of have to know what you're getting based on what they were able to do in college if they're going to actually be able to perform early. I know everyone knows Tyler Warren. Like, he broke almost every record in Penn State. He's going to be a guy that should prove dividends early, but 25 total touchdowns, which is number one in Penn State history, 153 receptions, 1,839 receiving yards, and 19 receiving touchdowns, all of which, again, are records for Penn State, which is to say that no matter if you were the tight end in his case, or if you were the running back or the wide receiver, whomever it may be, no one got more yards in these categories or more touchdowns in these categories than this young man did. He's 6'6", 256, big guy. He will be a willing blocker, but this guy, I'm about to give him some high praise right now, but don't hear what I'm not saying. I am going to throw out poor man's before I say it, but I kind of feel like if it all works out right, he could be the next Gronk. He can be that good. I don't know that he ends up being able to block as well as Gronk. He's not bad at blocking. Just make sure we're on the same page. But with his size and the ability to catch like a wide receiver, like the dimension that he gives whatever team he goes to is going to be stupid. Like, this is a guy that if you're iffy on wide receiver, just forget wide receiver and draft this guy and just start him and set him and forget him. I'm not going to say he's going to do what Brock Bowers did this previous fantasy year, but I don't think you'll be disappointed in comping what he is capable of doing, whether it happens, because with Brock, he was the only pass catcher in his offense. So it was tailored to him doing what he did. Now, obviously, if Warren goes to a team where they have plenty of pass catchers, he won't have the same opportunity. But as far as the talent is concerned, like, yeah, he's him. I guess we'll start there. Am I overhyping it? Did I not do it enough justice? Before we move on to whoever is next in your mind, which there's probably only about three, maybe four tight ends worth talking about for fantasy purposes.
Right. He's definitely in the Laporta and the tight ends of the last couple of years have been coming through. He's definitely in the class with those guys. I like Jeremy Shockey as a comp.
Okay.
This dude 4'5", man. I mean, he plug and play day one. And
depending on where he go, he might be the best receiver on the team immediately. When I tell you I would love for the Patriots to get him, you help out on the O-line, and he in McDaniel's system, I'm telling you, this dude would be the next Gronk. I'm telling you.
I've seen people say Kelsey.
The only difference between Gronk and Kelsey is Kelsey can't block quite as well, but about the same catching prowess.
Yeah.
So for fantasy purposes, about the same dude.
But one thing about this kid too, man, he can run.
Yeah.
They did a lot of wildcat with him and quarterback that like they sneaking a lot of. So he may be a guy as well that can get real freaky.
Yeah. Again, 6'6", 256. Yeah. And he ain't even put on his grown man weight yet. That's all I'm saying.
He another kid that could probably get freaky in fantasy as far as with the way he's used. Now, as good as he is and where he'd probably get drafted, I mean, I'm thinking maybe Jets as a team that comes to mind where they sit in that and who needs a tight end. Sean Payton would love a kid like this. He is Sean Payton written. I just said Jeremy Shockey. Like, he got Sean Payton written all over him, but I don't think he may be around that long. I'm thinking maybe the Jets and where they're picking would probably be a landing spot. But he's definitely a plug and play day one tight end. Now again, tight end is usually the position that doesn't translate quickly to the NFL. But Bowers,
wide receiver does.
Bowers, and
he's a huge wide receiver.
Yeah, Bowers smoked that. So yeah, I like him. But tight end is
You got this. Oh, go ahead, Ben. I'm sorry.
No, tight end is so choppy, man. I mean, there's probably in this draft, there's only honestly two or three tight ends worth even talking.
Agreed. Joe, you got that grin on your face. Look, y'all gotta tune in to Facebook or YouTube. Cause Joe, you look like you chomping at the bit. What's your feel about Warren, my guy?
He ain't gonna make it in that dynasty that far. He might be going at 5-6, to be honest with you. y'all said a lot of good things, and some of our people don't know he actually was a quarterback. He got a commitment to Virginia Tech at first, It wasn't because his basketball ability that Penn State gave him the look. And we put all those tangibles together to what we already talked about, the Wildcat. And then what we see him do, this guy's a freaky athlete. Like, I don't know, the one-handed catches he catches, you know, some of these wide receivers catch and they look like, oh, man, it's that glove. Nah, this boy literally catches those one-handed catches, and there's a grown man, like, catching this. Like, just like how Gronk caught something like that, too. We like, dang, like, I like his ferocity. I like when you said Gronk. It's shocking game. People forget that. It's the all the long hair and all that. Yeah, nah, that man was getting people fit. He didn't play no game. So I love all y'all said about Warren. But that's one tidbit. Like, he was a commitment for a quarterback originally. So that Wildcat is real. That what we saw him do.
Yeah.
We gonna see him throw the thing. Somebody gonna let him throw it. So I love him. He ain't going past five.
And the crazy thing about it, before Joe even said he didn't say anything, I already knew he was taking Warren because he was trading all his tight ends away. So I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was just sitting back, like, thinking my head,
and
like,
and he even slipped in which pick he was going to use for him, though. That's,
I've seen that. I mean, I've seen that a mile away. I'm like, and he's shipping off some. I mean, he traded Bowers out of all people. I'm like, well, damn.
I got the extra early round pick, man, that early second.
That was shocking. I'm like, damn, Bowers is a rookie. Well, going into his second season and just coming off being one of the better tight ends. And Joe had something else in mind. So I was like, I already knew that.
And it kind of dealt with that. Like, why would I feel like, I don't think, like you said, like how we both all agree, like we all have senses. Bowers is not a unicorn, but like that productivity, just like that, I can't say that he's going to have that right away. The utility of him is what's going to make him be. He's going to go to a team that needs him, to your point, the Jets, Chargers, teams like that that have a fit. And don't let him go to the Chargers where Herbert completes almost 24%. He targets the tight end by himself. He made Smart look like a wide receiver option later weeks in fantasy in real life. Like, that's just crazy. He's going to go to a place that's a necessity. He's going to be a utility. And we've seen what he does. And he's a minute. He's a dog. So I thought about it. Hey, I'm getting him. I'm getting an early second round pick. And the thing is, with Bowers, we got to preface this is Chip Kelly. Now, I like Stover. I like the things he did with Ohio State. But I just don't see how he can assimilate featuring Bowers and then a multitude of other players that they don't have on this team. Teams, you know how it is, that you're a one-year wonder, they put a focus on you, and then it's to be seen. And that's how I look at Bowers. And I say, I still hold him to the same stature, but I think it's an opportunity to kind of take a step back. We've seen Chip Kelly try to do this in the NFL. We've seen how those things go.
Mm-hmm.
Let me kind of get
fair to say that if you call. Go from not having anybody to having several people that are in the vein of the offense of the new OC, that you won't have the same focus that you had previously. And to your point, whoever drafts Warren, they're going to have to draft them high. There's going to be a need for pass catcher. And he's going to be a focal point of the offense, so they wouldn't be drafting him as high as they have to draft him. Kind of the same situation that the Raiders were in. So I see where you're coming from. And for next year, Warren may have that same necessity in his offense that Bowers had in his. So I kind of see where you're coming from as far as that's concerned. And even if he doesn't have the same amount of quote-unquote yards end of season or fantasy points end of season, he's still going to have the same week-to-week value in that he's never going to not be a focal point with whatever team he ends up on. So I kind of see where you're coming from with that. Vander, anything else about Warren or anything else about any other tight end that you have any inkling about?
Real quick, I want to say that's a good call by Joe, because a lot of people, I think Bauer's going to go overdrafted too early. This is a new system he's going to be in. So what you're seeing is not going to be a repeat, I think, based on just how these coordinators usually operate. That's usually extremely important. So we definitely going to see a decline in Bowers. I hate to say it, but No, nah, Forrest Warren, I like it. And this is probably the only other tight end to even talk about, Colston Loveland.
Out of Michigan.
You know what I'm saying? That's probably the...
Another big boy, 6'6", 248.
Yeah. He isn't real physical, not like yards after, you know, not a tackle breaker or nothing like that.
He's a pretty effective route runner, though.
Yeah.
Pretty good hand.
Adequate blocker. I'm going to say he's more like a Dennis Peter as far as a comp. I think this is really a one-man race, to be all honest with you. So.
He has the ability, though, to accelerate past his defenders and kind of have what amounts to a 60-40 opportunity. He's going to be a poor man's Jimmy Graham. He's the guy that can get down the field. If he catches that seam, he might be gone. Once he gets past that safety, the safety isn't going to be able to turn around and catch up with him. But it's going to be three plays a game that are designed for him. Everything else is just going to be by happenstance. It's kind of what I'm seeing with him. With Warren, it's going to be we're designing like 25% of the pass plays for you.
Yeah, I add to Loveland. I wouldn't be shocked if in real life Loveland goes in the first round. He's a really good player. I like how you said, like, I was first thinking, like, Kelsey, till you said Jimmy Graham, and now I can pivot to that. What you like about him, he is a very smart player. Like, you can tell early on, like, if he has that, like, he's going to be a contributor because he's gone in the first round. Like, it's like, believe it or not, if you were to grade him and Warren, they're really close more than you think. It's just that Warren is like 10 for 10, I know what I'm getting. Loveland is like, all right, the blocking part of it is where it's like, we don't know. But route running, he's just really smart. What I love about him, he has that situational awareness. Like how we see with Kelsey, that's why I lean toward Kelsey. Kelsey don't cut in front of the linebacker. He goes behind the linebacker, you know, in front of the safety. He just finds, like you said, he finds that seam and he gone. That's what this kid is a really good tactician at the craft. You like what he can do. And he done did it on the outside, like as the outside receiver. They moved him around a little bit as well, too. And that's what you get a sense of creativity with him to, like you said, a Jimmy Graham, where we see Jimmy outside, we see him in the slot.
Actually, I got a better comp. Love him. Somebody that's playing right now. And he is kind of a poor man's Jimmy Graham, if you will. You know those games where Chicago focuses on Cole Kmet? That's what's going to happen if they focus on him at tight end. But just like Cole Kmet, it's going to be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
That's right.
Some weeks, the matchup is going to dictate that it makes sense to go his direction. And other weeks, we're going to go completely away from him. That's his right now comp. Mm-hmm. In 9 times out of 10, depending on where he goes, that's going to be his usage as well. It's going to be more in line with a Cole Kmet type situation.
I love how you said that too. I think, but the crazy part is because of Loveland, like, people want to see, oh, he goes in the first round relative to Dynasty. Like, in real life, he goes in the draft. His value is going to raise himself to where he puts himself towards the back end of the first round, whether we like it or not. Because of the value he's going to bring to a team and a contribution, because he is a first round talent. Like I said, in reality, they're closer than what we can think if we measure them two by two, because we don't see him catch passes. I'm like, this man is a wide receiver. He's getting separation on defensive backs. We ain't even talking like real faster players than just the linebacker with ease. He catches it real quick, shows his hand, boom, that's it. It's away, it's done. And like you said, to Cole Kmet, like you said, I do see that Jekyll and Hyde, and that's why, like you said, to your point, for all those reasons, it's like you do have to take him, but his floor to ceiling between that and the Jimmy Graham is like, that's going to propel him to even Dynasty and in real life, a first round pick. So I love that call out. What we're having, hey, we're going to have a conversation, all three of us, about in regards to him, because, yeah, you're going to have to look out for him, but it's more risk with. We're level. I'm not going to say it. Like, it's not a 10 out of 10 like it is a Warren.
And that pretty much wraps it up for this week. We'll get back to you on next week and give you a little bit of a hodgepodge episode of a preview of the rookie draft, if you will, our last second thoughts and observations as far as landing spots, things of that nature. And then on Thursday, it's draft time. Following Tuesday, we get to give you the real based on where they ended up. So that's when it's no longer a prognostication. It's go time. You need to make sure you're positioning yourself, or possibly, depending on when you draft it, you may need to go ahead and trade somebody for more than what they may be worth right now and pick up a couple of guys that may end up both being worth more than the guy that's drafted highly. But we'll go over all of that with you and make sure that you have the information you need to dominate your dynasties and be well prepared in advance for your redraft leagues. But this week, we out. Remember, always tell the truth and nothing but the truth. Y'all be easy.